Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Terry Prone, columnist and chair of the Communications Clinic, is with me here in studio today because, Terry, you think that cabin staff no longer exist to make your flight an enjoyable experience. Why
absolutely
is that?
Absolutely not. I think that there's some relics of it, particularly with Aer Lingus. But generally, I think that Ryanair has changed the world and that they are there to sell you stuff and to sell it to you as bluntly as possible. I was really startled, Andrea. I was on JetBlue. Now, JetBlue is a good airline. Mm.
They're
really
sort of
they're
the
nice.
Ryanair transatlantic. They're a newcomer to the market, aren't they?
They
do a lot of American flights.
But they have always, in my view, been nice. Mm. And that's grand. So I'm sitting there and the guy arrives with a trolley. And I say, because some people like me live on coffee, I say, can I have a cup of coffee, please? And he says, the two coffee machines are broken. And I'm looking at him and I'm looking over his shoulder into the galley area where the coffee machines are. Now, you know that coffee machines on airplanes are just metal things sitting on a hot plate.
That's right, yeah.
Why would two on different levels both be broken at one time? Why would two be broken if they didn't have out of order signs on them? I just didn't believe it. I thought, you are a lazy and you just don't want to make coffee. And it's much easier to hand out
but
a can of something.
Why wouldn't they want to make the coffee? Because presumably they'd sell it to you.
The coffee. Ha ha, you're smart, aren't you? That's why you have the big job here. No, the hot coffee and the hot tea is free. The cans you got to pay for. Yeah,
this is on JetBlue now.
This was on JetBlue.
And where were you going?
I was coming back to Dublin. I was coming back. I wasn't flying the Atlantic. I think I was going to Boston. Mm. But anyway, the woman beside me, I have to tell you, was very old. Now, you will look at me and say, you're one to talk.
No, but I would never.
I swear to God, she was so old, she made me feel like a teenager. And she said to the guy, with some justification, I'm desperately cold. Could I have a blanket? Mm. You've asked for that.
Of course,
on flight.
Yeah.
What he said was, I can sell you a blanket, and handed her the card. And I swear to God, in among all the not cups of coffee, they were free, the cans and the sandwiches and the croissants for sale were blankets and earphones. And she looked dismayed and eventually said, oh, okay. And he said, I'll come back to you. He simply never came back to her. And somebody behind who had heard her saying that she was cold came up and gave her their blanket. And I'm thinking, this is interesting. It's that guy's job to make that woman comfortable and happy.
Do you feel a lot of it then, you know, the experience now? And look, the beauty of the likes of JetBlue and Ryanair is that they've made travel more affordable. The ticket flights, the seat prices have obviously dropped, Terry. But I suppose with that comes the frills and the flounces and all of that now is left at home. But do you feel, I suppose, a lot of the job now of cabin crew is... It's kind of a sales role, really, is it? It's upselling.
It's totally. And it isn't a relationship sales role. It's just, I have these six things. Do you want them? No, grand. I'll move on to the next person. And the interesting thing is that I don't think there's a consequence. Even with me, the next time I book a transatlantic flight, I'm just going to go for what's the cheapest. And it's likely to be JetBlue and I'll do that.
Yeah,
there
so
is no
off.
Loyalty.
No. Joan Scales, travel journalist, is joining us here as well, Terry. Is it in just a general sense, though, Joan, the role of cabin crew? Has that just totally changed from the traditional role that we remember?
Well, I think the one important thing we have to remember, and the one reason why we do have cabin crew, is that they're for your safety. And they're there to help you in the case of emergencies. So their primary role is not about selling. Their primary role is about safety. But in recent years, because the airlines have managed to cut costs, so to speak, they have now turned into salespeople. And yes, Terry's right, they're there to sell you things as well. And in actual fact, part of their remuneration is commission-based, as we know, with Ryanair. Certainly we hear about that all the time. And but really, we need to take on board that safety is the important thing that they're there to do. That comes first. But your comfort should be second and sales should be third.
Mm. Now, I would have thought,
if you're not comfortable on a flight, you know, it's miserable.
Now, I would have thought that the hospitality was usually better on the long-haul flights, Joan.
Well, it is. Generally, the hospitality is better on long-haul flights. You do actually get meals on long-haul flights, unlike the short-haul flights in Europe. You get nothing unless you pay for it. But then again, you still have the better quality airlines, who would be kind of first-world airlines like Emirates and Qatar and Singapore, like who still give a full service. Lufthansa, British Airways, they all still give full service on flights, but of course you pay it in the ticket.
Mm.
You know, you're not
sure paying
it,
first.
You're
There's not nothing free.
Cheap. There's nothing free, but it's included in the cost, so to speak. But yes, it's a different world nowadays. But then there's a lot more of us travelling because we can afford to travel, because it is cheaper. And so, like, remember the old days. Terry, remember this day. When you wanted to be an Aer Lingus hostess, and they were mostly women, they were virtually all women, you were recruited, a certain type of young lady was recruited. You had to be between 21 and 26, no more than about 7.5 stone to 9 stone. You had to come from a background with medical training or nursing training, or they liked to recruit from the blood bank. And they had very, very strict standards. I mean, it was a very classy job to get a job as an Aer Lingus hostess.
I remember Terry as a child going, or at some point in my life, going on a family holiday. And like, it was such a glamorous role. I remember as a treat, I was allowed to get something on holidays, you know. And what I wanted was the Aer Lingus doll. The Aer Lingus, the doll.
Oh,
of,
dressed
you
up,
you know,
I
she was kind
those.
Of, yeah, she was the Aer, she was Aer Lingus Barbie, basically.
They
I think she's still at the house at home.
It's a definition of glamour.
Yeah.
I remember having a friend, Renny Rutledge, who had been an air hostess, and she was very funny about it. But my God, she was, when I knew her, she would have been 30 years retired. She was so glamorous and beautiful. It was a role like modelling, only with safety concerns thrown in.
Well, just on that, Marissa Mackel is joining us here as well. And Marissa's a former air hostess, and Marissa, apologies, Marissa, and an author of Confessions of an Air Hostess. I mean, when you're on board flights now, Marissa, you must notice a different change from when you were doing the job.
Oh, well, it's completely different, yes. I mean, when I was Aer Lingus Air Hostess, we wouldn't have been able to wear trousers or anything like that. And now they are able to wear trousers, which is a lot more comfortable. But it was glamorous, and we were perceived to be very glamorous. But when I tell people that, you have to be, well, I think everyone was a size 10. Everyone in my training group was a size 10. And if you went up a size, you were sent off to Weight Watchers, you know. You'd have a meeting with 3 supervisors. So we were all terrified to eat, you know. So that wasn't really good either. For us, it was always a test if you could squeeze yourself past the trolley and the seat. That meant that you were the right size. So you had to give up your, you know, when you got married, you had to leave the job. It wasn't all great, but it was a lot safer in that. Years ago it was so expensive to fly Aer Lingus, so you really only got sort of very wealthy, well-to-do people travelling. And you kind of knew who, because my godmother was an air hostess as well, and she said you would get to know the regular passengers. It was a lot of the same people. But now it's just like everywhere in the world, it's just busy, it's crowded. You know, there's flights at 4 a.m. So people are up all night. They're grumpy, they're irritable. Everyone wants something now.
It's very different.
Well, we never, and now on the short haul flights now, we would never have given out blankets in Aer Lingus. It was just the long haul flights. I flew recently in America, and I think it was a 6-hour flight, so it wasn't a short flight. I was just given a bottle of water and a biscuit, and just take us or leave us.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Is the job, Marisa, though, the cabin crew, like, would you see it now? Is it really a sales job? Like, surely all of those safety measures are part of it.
I don't think it is a sales job. Certainly when I flew last year, I flew quite a bit around America on budget airlines, and they weren't selling anything. So I wouldn't say it is a sales job. I definitely think some airlines, they never stop selling, and it is extremely annoying, especially when you're just trying to sleep, and there's just constant announcements. So, but I wouldn't say it's a general thing that all airlines are trying to sell things to you.
Yvonne Redden, travel journalist, is with us as well. Yvonne, I know you travel a lot for work. Do you notice many people, many customers, many passengers actually buying any of these scratch cards or all of the additional things that are on offer?
Oh, it's such a waste, isn't it? It's definitely shifted the customer service from pampering people to logistics, isn't it? And, you know, it's about speed and money and what they can get out of the passengers as quick as they can, especially on the short ones. That personal service has definitely gone out the window. But I think you can be clever, though, as a passenger, and maybe get your tea before you get on so you don't have to think about that. Bring scarves, and that can be used as blankets. Bring slippers that I take out of the hotels. Bring them on the long haul flight. You know, I have everything with me when I'm on, except my toothbrush. But you know what I miss terrible about flying, and I've seen it lately from flights, the screens that they're not on even the 4.5-hour flight to like the likes of Tenerife. I loved watching a movie or the kids. That's a real treat for the kids to have the screens. They don't even have them on the like 3-4 4.5-hour flights anymore.
No, I suppose they presume you have the tablet or the iPad or your phone or something.
I mean, not everyone does. The older generation might not have them. That was a big treat for me and for keeping the kids entertained, you know. But I was on a really good flight, a short 1-hour flight from Albania to Athens recently with Aegean Air. And the minute you got on, you got a bottle of water. They were bringing tea and snacks out. In an hour, I was gobsmacked. So that really, really, that made me feel better about personal customer service. They were brilliant out of all the low-budget airlines.
Yeah, listener here says, I'll take a cheaper flight with an ignorant staff member any day over a 300 quid 90s flight where they smile all day long. You'll have to start bringing the slippers and the dressing gown, Terry.
Never mind the slippers, never mind the dressing gown. I'm an addict. If you do not give me coffee, I'm going to think badly of you.
It's as simple as that. There's some things that don't cost anything, says this listener. Customer service and kindness surely is one of them. Another listener tells me, I have a friend, now retired air hostess, who says when she started with Aer Lingus, the most important thing was to have the logo on the napkin facing the passenger. And just before she retired, they were teaching her how to use handcuffs. How times have changed, says this listener.
The disruptive passenger is now the issue.
No question. Big changes for sure. Travel journalist Yvonne Redden, Marisa Mackel, who's a author of Confessions of an Air Hostess and former air hostess herself. Terry Prone, columnist at the Irish Examiner and chair of the Communications Clinic, and Joan Scales, travel journalist. Thanks a million for joining us on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday. On News Talk.